Okay, tonight is March 5th. This is the Gemara share. We're up to Moed Katan Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Okay. We are up to about six lines into the wide lines in the middle of Tes Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara asks Mitzora Mahu Bishaila Shalom. So the Gemara already established that an Avel is not permitted to engage in Sheila Shalom. The Gemara questioned about a Menuda, person put into Cherem, who conducts themselves as in some degrees like an Avel, and the Gemara Rabbi Yosef and Abaye argued whether or not he is obligated to engage to prohibit it, Shela Shalom, and the Gemara didn't resolve it, and now the Gemara goes to Mitzora Mau B'Shela Shalom. Answers the Gemara Toshma Va'al safam ya'ateh shiyu sifsosav midubakos zu b'zu. Since the pasuk states in Parshas Sazria that a tsarua must have safam ya'ateh, the way the Gemara darshins it now is that his lips should be connected to one another. Well, if your lips are connected to one another, you can't do much talking. So if you can't do much talking, obviously you can't engage in She'elat Shalom. If your lips can't do any talking, you can't say anything, not only She'elat Shalom, but that's how the Gemara darshins this. Now, Tosfos, on the left-hand side, in the middle of the page, she used Sifso Sub Medubakos, asks the question that we already use this pasuk by Mitzora to indicate that he has to have Atifas Harosh. How do I know I'm supposed to have Atifas Harosh? Because it says Va'al Safam Ya'ateh. And Ya'ateh means to be covered so that you are not able to be identified. So how can the Gemara now use the very same pasuk Al Safam Ya'ateh to teach us that he is not permitted to engage in She'elat Shalom? Answers the Gemara, Vishema, answers Tosis, Vishema Tarvayu Mashma. Okay, very compelling, Tosis. Maybe you can learn two things from the same pasuk. Okay, that's Tosis, that's his style. He asks a good question. Sometimes his answers are not that conceptually challenging. Inami midichsiv safam velo ksiv safa. Had it only said va'al safa ya'ateh, then I could learn one halacha that you are not permitted to be exposed and your upper lip should be covered through wrapping some veil or something on the top of your head going all the way down to your mouth, just as certain Arab communities do today. If you go into Walgreens, there's one of the people who are at the counter. He wears one of those burkas or whatever it is. And you can only see her eyes, nothing else. But since it says safam, that indicates two lips. Why do I have to talk about two lips? So you darshan that your lips should be shut, sealed, and that I can learn the second halacha that She'elat Shalom happens to be asur. Okay? Yeah. Now, the previous Gemara, which we read, I think, 2 weeks ago, when the Gemara asks about, if you look at a couple lines above where I started, remember there are three sets of questions to every single halacha that we discuss. We start with Avel, we proceed to Menuda, and we proceed then to Metzora. So if you go back for a second to Menuda, and stop me if we already said this, I don't remember, when the Gemara asked two lines above it, Menuda ma'u b'she'el ha-shalom. Amar Rav Yosef toshma, u'b'she'el ha-shalom bein adam l'chaveiro kibnei adam
hanezofen.
So the Gemara asked the question whether Menuda is prohibited in Sheila Shalom. And Rav Yosef gave an answer that the Braisa in Tanis tells us that after the same situation, after the 13 fasts for the lack of rain, everybody sat like people who were Avelim and in a very depressed state. So the Gemara said that, and it said there that you did not engage in she'elat shalom shebein adam lechaveiro kibnei adam hanizofin lamakom, like people who are what? Angry by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Abaye responded, dil menuda l'shamayim shani dechamer. Maybe if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at you, it's worse than if Bezdin puts you into Cheret. So there is no real proof, the Gemara said, that a Menuda is Asur B'She'el HaShalom. The Mishnah in Tanis, which said that after those 13 fasts, which they fasted because of the lack of rain, that a person is prohibited in She'el HaShalom, that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed this Nidui. But that doesn't really mean that if Bezdin imposes somebody in Nidui, that it should be prohibited. So, fine. So, now the Gemara says, okay, so at the time we did not resolve the debate. Abaye said it's Asur, and Rabbi Yosef said it's Asur, and Abaye said no, maybe there is a difference. So now the Gemara is saying that I am quoting the next Braisa, and it says at the end of this Braisa, Va'al Safam Ya'ateh, back to our Gemara about Mitzora, Shiyu Sif So Sab Meduba Ko Zuba Zu, Shiyehe Kiminuva Minuta Uche Avel, Va'asur B'Sheil HaSholom.
Shmamina.
So this Braisa is written in relationship to what? To Mitzora. Because the Pasuk is written by Mitzora. The Pasuk is written by a Mitzora. Al Safam Yate is in Parshas Sazria discussing Tzora'at. But the Braisa happened to have mentioned that it's not only the Mitzora who is Asur in She'el HaShalom, it also says what?
Menuda.
Like the Menuda. That he's compared Shiehe Kiminuva Ukeva. Ask the Gemara, V'nifshot Mina Leminuda. Why can't I use this Braisa to finally clinch and say that Rav Yosef was 100% correct? That every single person put into Nidui is Asur in She'el HaShalom. Because the Gemara is making a comparison from the Mitzora to whom? To the Avel and the Menuda. And if we establish just now that a Mitzora is Asur in She'el HaShalom, well, if I'm comparing a Mitzora to a Menuda, he must be Asur in She'el HaShalom as well.
Abaye's Svara still works, though.
Why is that?
Because a Mitzora is like Nizuf and Lamakom.
Okay, but that the Gemara never says that. The Gemara never says that, never uses that expression, that a Mitzora is somebody who is Nizuf lamakom. The Gemara assumes every mitzora. Every mitzora is nizof lamakom.
My point is that the response of Abaye can still hold, even though the Braisa disagrees with him.
No, Abaye is saying that there are different types of nidui. There aren't any different types of tzaras.
Right, I'm saying, so what my point is, Abaye's answer still holds, meaning that a mitzora, yes, they are asur b'shalom, because they are always, they are in the same category as nizuf lamakom. But a menuda is not. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but it doesn't, okay, he could have said that, but he doesn't. He doesn't pipe up again, Abaye, and say it. I hear what you're saying. So now the Gemara asks, why don't I just use this braisa to v'nifshot mina l'minuda? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Acha bar Pinchas mishmei de Rabbi Yosef. Ni katani she'asur she'yehe k'minuda she'asur? Does it say when it compares a mitzora to a minuda? Does it say she'hu asur b'she'ela shalom k'minuda ucha avel? It doesn't say that in the Braisa. It says that a mitzora should be like a menuda and an ovel. Look at the line above Rav Acha. Shiyehe kemenuda uka ovel. Then the next three words are v'asu b'sheila shalom. Therefore, Rav Acha bar Pincha says the mere fact that the Gemara compares mitzora to a menuda, you don't necessarily have to say that it's comparing the mitzora to the menuda in what area of she'ela shalom. It could be that it's comparing him to lots of other things, to milsa achranaisa, other areas it's compared to. And then it states that a mitzora is asur b'she'ela shalom. That's what the Braisa says. Amara, I'll read it again. Amara v'achbar Pinchas Mishmei de Rabbi Yosef. Mi katani she'asur? Does it say in the previous formulation, she'yehe asur kimenuda ucha'evel? It doesn't say that. It says, she'yehe kimenuda ucha'evel, katani. And what does it refer to? Bimili achranaisa. In other areas, V'asur nami b'she'la shalom refers to what? Only what? Only the mitzora. So how do I know that that phrase specifically is comparing mitzora and menuda vis-a-vis she'la shalom? Maybe it's in relationship to something else. And hence, Rav Pinchas, in the name of Rav Yosef, says we cannot necessarily resolve our previous question of menuda from this particular braisa, which is cited in relationship to mitzora. So now, the Gemara, Rishonim and Achronim are going to ask, what other matters could the Gemara have had in mind? What other matters could they have had in mind? So take page number 1, which is the Keren Ira.
Who was the Keren Ira?
Keren Ira was an Achron who lived in the 18th century. Yeah. So it's the second line of that bracketed thing. V'tzarech Ian le'inyan mai midamele le'menuva v'ave. What would we be comparing mitzora to? Which halachot would we be comparing a mitzora to menuvel, a menuda and an oven? E le'inyan tispores ukriya. If you wanted to say that it refers to that a mitzora cannot take a haircut like an ovel and a person in nidui, or that he has to rip his garments, that can't be it. Why? In the pasuk it says that the garments of a, it says v'hatzarua ashebo hanega bigadav yufrumim v'rosho yafarua. The pasuk itself says he has to wear ripped garments and has to let his hair grow. V'chol sha'ar dvarim chutz me'elu, and every other item which the Gemara has attempted to establish by minuta, misafkalon inihigi b'mitzora. The Gemara never clinched whether it applies to a mitzora or not. So, in what areas does the Gemara have in mind? You know what? It's not she'elat shalom. It's milta acharayna. It's other things where we are making the comparison of mitzora to menuda and avel. So he writes, v'yesh loima, didichu Yehuda matchila. You're right. I can't really think of another area in which we're comparing menuda a mitzora to a menuda and avel. So what is the Gemara doing? Just rejecting the attempt to what? To establish a resolution. The Gebraisa tried to claim that a mitzora is asur b'shel ha-shalom, and the Gemara is rejecting it. There is no compelling proof from the words of the Gebraisa that indeed a mitzora is to be asur in she'el ha-shalom because of the comparison to menuda and mitzora. That doesn't, to menuda and avel. That all the Gemara is doing. Meha lo tifshot. The ikah lemeimar dekoi ashar mili, that it goes on other items. The problem is elo delefi my de pasak harambam b'mitzora likulu bechol hani mili demi bayalon. That if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Yud haperek Yud of Hilchos Mitzora lachavav, that when it comes to every other question that we asked, the Rambam paskins lekula, what did the Gemara have in mind for milsa achrina? What else besides she'ela shalom could the Brice have had in mind? Are we going to compare a mitzora to a menuda and another if the Rambam paskins lema'aseh lehakel by all those other issues? Ela the fima the pasuk Rambam b'mitzora lekul v'chalini bayalon v'chein b'menuda hishmit kol hani mili, and in relationship to menuda, the Rambam didn't even talk about all of the other issues which we've spoken about up until now. Umashma the pasuk lekula, if the Rambam didn't prohibit it, you can infer from the Rambam that what did he do? He permitted it. Im kein, Eich yifareish braitot elu dekatani behu shiyehe kemenuda v'avel. What could we possibly interpret that we are comparing a mitzora to menuda and an avel? What exactly are we comparing to? And he comes to the conclusion, mitzorachiyam. I really don't know. I really don't know what we're going to compare it to. In fact, I have here the Rambam in page 8, the Rambam which the Keren Orah makes reference to, page 8. Let's look at Halacha Vav. Mitzvas asei shiyeh hamitzora hamuchlat mechusa rosh kol yemei chaluto. So let me explain what muchlat is. There are two different discussions in Parshas Zriya about a mitzora. Mitzora, every tzaras has certain signs in the Torah that his skin is white, it's deep white, it's that, very difficult things upon which the Kohen bases his decision to proclaim you tame or not. Sometimes the signs are not conclusive. So what does the Kohen do? The hizgir oso shivas yamin. You lock him up for 7 days, and you just wait and see for another week to see how these simanim develop. Now, during his hezger, he's locked up, but he's not considered a full mitzora as yet, and therefore many of these halachot don't apply. So it's all. However, once he sees that it's converted into the signs of a leper, or the very first time it's obvious, then he's called a mukhlat, an absolute mitzora. So the Rambam is discussing here mitzvah saseshi ha-mitzora ha-mukhlat, somebody who was definitively identified as a mitzora. Mechusa rosh kol yimei chaluto, he has to cover his head. The oteh al safam, and the cover goes over his lips. Ke'ovel uporei bigadav, and he has to wear ripped garments. Umodia ha'ovrim alav shehu tameh, and he knows anybody, he informs anybody who passes by, stay away from me, I am tameh. Shine emar v'hatzarua shebo hanaga, the end of the pasuk is tameh, tameh yikra, let him pronounce, let him tell people I am tameh. Afilu kohen gadol shenitztareya, even a Kohen Gadol, we had that on the bottom of Yudal and Amid Beis, who became a Tzorua, Poreya, lets his hair grow, Uforeim, and his garments are ripped, She'aseh dochalotaseh, because the mitzvah saseh of wearing ripped garments and letting your hair grow overrides the lav of the Kohen Gadol wearing ripped garments and what? And letting his hair grow long. It's simple. Asei do chalot asei. V'asur b'she'ela shalom kol yimei chaluto ke'ovel. Shine emar v'al safam ya'ateh shiyu sifasov divukos. Avol korei v'shone v'doreish. He's allowed to read psukim. He's allowed to read Mishnah, that's Shoneh. He's allowed to read Drashot Chazal. V'asur l'saper u'lechabes kol yimei chaluto. The Gemara will talk about tisporet and kibus later on the page. So he's not allowed to take a haircut or launder his clothing. V'noeg b'chol ha'dvarim ho'ela afilu b'shabasas v'yom tov. However, Harehu mutar berechitza sicha ne'ilas hasandal tashmish hamita, and all of those things are prohibited by an avel, and they don't apply in relationship to what? To a mitzora.
Is that the same for korei shone v'doreish? An avel is not allowed.
That's right. An avel is not allowed to engage. That's another thing which doesn't apply to a mitzora. So, in what respect is a mitzora being compared to an avel? When 99%, 58, 68, 78% of the halachos of avel don't apply to a mitzora. And the ones that do are black and white in the pasuk. So which halachot are we going to compare if you're going to reject the havamina that we're going to compare him to Sheilat Shalom by saying that the Braisa is comparing a mitzora to an ovel for other halachot? What other halachot are there? Especially according to Shitas HaRambam, who definitively tells us that most of the halachot of an ovel don't apply to a mitzora. So the Karen Ira says, Mitzorachi, I just don't have a good answer. And you have to accept his first suggestion that it's just a rejection. The Gemara is just looking to reject the supposed solution of Rav Pinchas and Rav Yosef. And the Gemara is saying, okay, it's not conclusive. That's all. Not the best answer in the world.
But he's not posed. He is machmir on a mitzora. I mean, compared to a menuda.
Correct, but it's also, it says kemenuda ke'ovel.
So, but when it says that, it's basically just for one thing we're saying. It's just for she'elas shalom.
That's what the Braisa wanted to do. So the Gemara rejected and said, it doesn't say Asur B'Sheil Hashem Ke'ovel Ke'menuda. It says the next phrase, V'Asur B'Sheil Hashem.
That's quite what we're saying now. We can't find anything else.
Right?
So,
but the Rambam is posek that a menuda is Asur B'Sheil Hashem.
No, and Mitzorah.
A Mitzorah.
Mitzorah.
Right? So we don't know about
it. No, but he said over here that he's post. He's everything is Lakula. There, he's not Lakula by Sheil Hashem.
No, the Rambam, by other things, by all the other things. All the other things. Not, you're right, by Shel Shalom, he said it's Asur, a Metzora. So the, according to the Rambam, what, he accepted the Gemara's, he didn't accept the Gemara's rejection.
Isn't that a pretty difficult way of reading that Brisa?
Which way?
The way of Rav Acha Bar
Pinchas. Of course it's very difficult. That's why he says it's a dachik, it's a dechuya, and that's
is
it.
Is that the same Rav Yosef? Is it Amar Rav Yosef above? Or
yes, same Rav Yosef. I don't know of another Rav Yosef.
So Rav Yosef.
Even the Gemara says, Kama Rav Yosef Sita B'Shuk. There are a lot of Rav Yosefs in the market, but he was saying that, you know, like a joke. Yeah?
Because this Rav Yosef is contradicting himself, isn't he? Because before above, he's the one that comes out and says that a menuda is Asur B'Shuk.
Correct. But there it's talking about menuda. Here it's talking about Mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. So there are a couple of other answers. The Talmidei, the Rabbi Yechiel Miparis writes, well, maybe it was that the other area was that they're compared to, as the Gemara will later say, for Tisporet and Kibbutz. Just as an Ovel and a Menuda are not permitted to take a haircut and do their laundry, so too a Mitzorah is not allowed to take a haircut and what? Do laundry. I don't know. It doesn't say in the Pasuk any place about doing laundry. That's for sure.
But it says about the haircut.
Haircut it does. But at least Kibbutz. Okay? The Gemara like puts them together. But, you know, maybe that would be. That's what Rabbi Chaim Miparis says.
That applies to Menuda also, or just Ovel?
It applies to Menuda also.
Can't do kibbutz.
Cannot do kibbutz during his time of. That's correct. At least according to Rabbi Chaim Miparis.
Even the laundry is a stretch. Was he supposed to wear torn clothes? That isn't a pasuk.
That's correct. But torn, that but torn doesn't have to be laundered. It doesn't say that. It could be clean torn clothes. Yeah. The Nitziv in Hamek Sheila writes that the Kavana is not to engage in Sicha B'Tela with anybody else. That's what the Halacha is. An Ovel is not supposed to engage in Sicha B'Tela. Not supposed to talk about the stock market. Not supposed to talk about the Mets. Because even though he could talk about the Mets, because that would make him sad. That'll make him sad. Not supposed to talk about the Yankees. Not supposed to. No Sicha B'Tela. And just telling stories. Sipurim in Bnei Adam. And Ovel doesn't do that. Somebody who's a Mitzora is compared to a Menuda in that regard. Okay. Fine. Oh, okay. In that respect.
That makes sense, because the pasuk's talking about his lips.
What?
Brian's talking about his lips. So it makes sense in comparing them in that case.
That would be good. Yes. Maybe that's what he had in mind. That would be true. Yeah. Okay, let's continue to Gemara. Ovel asur b'divrei Torah. An Ovel is not permitted to study Torah. B'dekaomar Rachmona liYecheskel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yecheskel, don't. Be silent, and silence includes divrei Torah. Silence includes divrei Torah. So now I would like you to look at a page number 2.
We use this already too, right?
What?
We use that word already, no?
Yes, we did that for Sheila Shalom. Yeah. This is a tshuva of the Maharil, who was Gedolei Chachmei Ashkenaz. Many of the Ramah's Piskei Halacha are based on the practices of the Maharil. Many. He's the father of Ashkenazic practice, the Maharil, and of our Nusach for davening. The Maharil was a Baal Tefila, and he established what is considered the appropriate Nusach for davening, Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. He gets supposedly all the credit.
He wrote the music, the notes?
He wrote the music, the notes, yeah. 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 So, Somebody asked the Maharil, whenever you're not allowed to learn, such as an Avel or Tisha B'Av, is Hirbur Divrei Torah permissible? Are you just allowed to think about Divrei Torah or not? So the Maharil says, Rov Rabosenu Maski the Hirhur Lav Kedibur Dami. The majority of Paiskim have Paskim that Hirhur is not considered like Dibur. Le'inyin Kriyashma Uberchas Hamazon. In relationship to Kriyashma, if I think Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, I am not Yotze the Mitzvah. And same thing with Berchas Hamazon. Even according to the opinion, do you have to actually be audible? Even if you don't have to be audible, he has to at least mouth it so that he's talking, at least say it, articulate, but just thinking about it internally. You can't call an audible that way from the huddle. You can't. The quarterback has to scream it out when he calls an audible. Right? Of course. But he can actually do it. He can go with his hand. You know, he can do it. Avol hirhur klal lo. V'chein le'inyin Shabbos. Dibur asur hirhur mutar. We say it in one of the Zmiros. Hirhurim mutarim. You're allowed to be maharher about things that you shouldn't be talking about on Shabbos. Omnam mitivusa demar amina. I would nonetheless say kol hani lo damyan leha. All of these halachot have nothing to do with our case here about an Avel or on Tisha B'Av thinking about Divrei Torah. Why? The Hacha Taimo Mai Mishum Simcha. Why is it that an Avel is usher to engage in Talmud Torah? Because it's Misameachim. Ubehirhur Ika Simcha Kimo B'Medaber. And when you think Divrei Torah, it's as much as what? As much simcha as when you're talking or reading. Upe'amim tfei. And at times, when you think about it, it's even more simcha. Ve'ika ha-simcha hu min ahirur. And the main simcha is what you conceptually enjoy and understand. Ve'im yikra adam kol hayom v'lo yavin. And if a person will just read and not understand one word in his mind, ma simcha hayolo, what kind of simcha could he possibly have by reading? El im kein yavin. Im kein ki maharer bilo girsa maishna. If he's going to what? Have simcha without saying anything, that's going to be asur for an avel.
We don't seem to act like that. I mean, we seem to not let people learn any Torah, whether they understand it or not.
What do you mean?
I mean, so we don't let an Avel learn. Period. Whether he's not allowed to learn.
No, he later on goes to say that a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, he can read all of Shas on Tisha B'Av.
Okay.
Because he's not. Well, he's just reading Aramaic. Goes on to say,
okay.
Because it's not learned. It's Hespish Galal. It's not learning. You have to understand. And in fact, it's true for Torah Shebiksav. If you don't understand Torah Shebiksav and you read it, you get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's what all these Chevra Tehillims are all about. A lot of people don't understand what they're saying. Tehillim's not easy. But if they say Torah Shebiksav, you get credit. For Torah Shebalpeh, you don't get a minute's credit of Talmud Torah if you don't understand what you're talking about. So therefore, he includes the Isur of Maharher. The Rav once said that when he was sitting Shiva, he was aware of this Shiva the Maharil. He said this was the hardest thing for him during Shiva. not to be maharer in Divrei Torah. It was impossible. So he always appreciated and that other people, when they would come to Menachem, would engage him in Divrei Torah that you were allowed to do. Hilchos Avelos, and he said that when Rav Huttner came to be Menachem Avel when his wife passed away, so he asked him, Rav Huttner asked the Rav while he was sitting Shiva, he said, the halacha is just punk kapay. For a parent who you don't choose, and you have nothing to do with who becomes your parents, you have avelos for an entire year. And for your wife, who you selected and lived the majority of your life with, you only sit 30 days. Does that make any sense? That's what Rav Huttner asked him. And the Rav said, he had no sense. When you're dealing with your wife, the halacha only has to legislate 30 days. When you deal with a spouse. Why? Because you're never going to forget her. You're going to be Miss Abel, way past what the halacha said. But with a parent, what are you going to say? I didn't choose my parents. So 30 days is enough. So the halacha had to teach you, halacha and derech eretz, they should at least be Miss Abel on your parents for a year. That's what he responded. He said that's what he liked that, because he kept his mind off things that he shouldn't be teaching. And that's why when he came back to YU, I was a little 2 years before my time, in 67 when his wife passed away, he learned Hilchos Avelos for a whole year. He learned Mayakatan, the third parak, our parak, and he learned the third parak of Brachas, which deals with a lot of Avelos halachas. Because he was like Miss Abel all year for his wife. Much more than much more. Fine. That's what the Maril says, that Hirhur is Asur as well. Hirhur is Asur as well.
So in the bathroom too?
What?
In the bathroom too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the Gaon studied math. Because he didn't want to be Mahara de Retiros. He studied math in the bathroom. Right? He wrote a math book. Ayel Mishulash. The Vilna Gaon wrote a geometry book. So, let's continue to Gemara. Yeah. Now, on this statement that an Avel is Asur in Talmud Torah, take a look at Rashi on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara will elaborate on many of the halachot that we're touching upon very briefly. Is an Avel Asur this? And elaborate as the Dapim continue. On the top of Daf Yud Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, the Asur Likros, it's the third Rashi on the top, third line of the Rashi. The Asur Likros, Kidamrina Le'el, as the Gemara said previously, Mida Omar Rahman Eli Yecheskel, Heyonek Dom. Asks Rashi, Vaha de Omar Ovel Chayiv Bechol HaMitzvos Hoamuros Batoira, Chutz Mitfilin. The Gemara in Bracho says, we've mentioned this once or twice, that an Ovel is Chayav in all mitzvot except for Tfilin. So what's Rashi's question? What about Talmud Torah? The Brisa says, Chutz min atfilin. So Rashi answers, V'ha d'omar ovel chal mitzvos, ha mus b'al chutz min atfilin, hasam she'ar mitzvos be'alma. That's referring to all mitzvot. Aval hani isbehu simcha. It means that an Ovel is chayav in all mitzvot that have nothing to do with simcha, except tefillin. Tefillin is the one mitzvah which has nothing to do with simcha, which he's not obligated to observe. But any mitzvah that is categorized as simcha, under those circumstances, an Ovel does not engage in them throughout the entire year of Avelus. Even many halachot. I'll give you an example. Somebody just asked me, they're going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, and they are Kohanim, and they their practice, of course, is like, he's an Ovel, so he will, if he'd been here, he would not be Oyla L'duchen. Because the Ramah says, since we are duchen only for Yantiv, the element of Asher Kedushana B'Kedushato Shalom Tzivanu Levarecha Samo Yisrael be Ahava can only be generated when there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv. So therefore an Avel who is a Kayin walks out before they recite would say so that he cannot go up to Duch. So this person asked me, what about Eretz Yisrael? So I told him, in Eretz Yisrael you Duch, because they Duchen every single day, and the mitzvah of Birchat Kohanim is not associated with the mitzvah of Simcha. They somehow can muster Vitzivan al-Varech Sami Sobiyava, even if it's a plain Tuesday morning, and it's pouring. They can still do Birchas Kohanim. So, any mitzvah that is associated with Simcha, I'm just giving you one, Birchas Kohanim, according to Shitas HaRambah, is a mitzvah Shiyesh Bo Simcha. So too, getting an aliyah on Simchas Torah, an Avel does not get an aliyah on Simchas Torah, and an Avel does not walk around when they take Hoshanas, because that's also based on the mitzvah Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, and in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yerushalmi says, B'Simchas HaLulav HaKasuv Medaber. They would take Lulav and Esrog all 7 days in the Mikdash, as opposed to us in Gola, or in Medina, in even Eretz Yisrael, out of the Mikdash, supposed to only take it 1 day Midoraisa. So that's what Rashi says, that it means that an Ovel is Chayav in all mitzvot, which happen to be not related to Simcha, with the exception of Tefillin. With the exception of Tefillin. Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
Is there a fee for Simcha in a year for Vayantim?
That's a very good question. I have not seen anywhere that an Ovel is exempt from Simcha Siyantiv. I have not seen it. It's a good question.
Wasn't that the idea that,
he has to eat Psar Kachim? He has to be Misameach others?
Yantiv breaks Simcha. Yantiv breaks Avelos.
It doesn't break it. It terminates Shloishim and not Yud Beis Chodesh. Not Yud Beis Chodesh. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues. It says, yeah. Minuda mahu b'divrei Torah. Can somebody in Chayrim learn Torah? Amar Rav Yosef Toshma, Menuda shone v'shonin lo, niskar v'niskarin lo. Somebody who's just put into Chayrim is allowed to learn. You can teach him. He can hire, and he can be hired by you. However, Muhram, according to some Rishonim, means if after the original Nidui, which lasted 30 days, you did not follow through on what Beis Din told you to do, they put you into a more severe form of Nidui, which is called Chayrim. Others say it's after 60 days, but most Rishonim say it's after 30 days. A Muhram is lo shone, is not allowed to learn. V'lo shonin lo, you're not allowed to teach him. Lo niskar, v'lo niskarin lo. He's not permitted to be hired, nor can he hire you to do anything for him. Aval shone hu la'atzmo shelo yafsik es limudo. He is allowed to learn himself if he's in the middle of learning something, so he can continue learning that only for himself, not to interact with anybody else, not to ask any kashas. And the osa lo chanus kitana bishvil parnasasa, he can open up a small kiosk so that he can what, have something to live off, because he can't be hired as a worker, nor can he hire workers to work for him. So how's he going to make a living during his days in Chayrim? He's allowed to open up a little store. And Rav, Omar Rav, Zvune Maya Bepikto de Arvos. He's allowed to sell water in a place called, in the markets of Arvos, Pikto de Arvos. There's a place called Arvos, and the markets, you're allowed to sell there. what was so unusual about this place, Pikta the Arvos? So take a look at page 3. You have the Ritva. On the second bracketed line, Lo nitzricha ela lezvune maya b'pikta arvos, perush she'ein hamayin mitsuyin shom. There is not a lot of water in this little market. V'hakol ban likach mimenu. And now, as a result of him selling water, he'll have some customers. Sharin and le kidei parnesoso mihas. We allow him to make a living by doing this. Yeah. If you go to the previous bracketed Ritva, he asked that same question that Rashi did. The ikashalach avel asam devar iluhasam in sukkah and in brachos it says avel shuchai b'chalam mitzvah mus b'torah chutz minat tefillin. So the Ritva gives a very famous answer. V'yesh loymar she'ein lemeidin min haklalos. You can't extract halakhic significance out of a rule and say if the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Braisa quotes a rule, must be the what? That the rule is accurate. No, the rule is not accurate. Ein lemeidin min haklalos. If it would be just stama rule, okay, a rule is not always entirely inclusive. But if it says, here is the rule, with the exception of tefillin, you would imagine that they were pretty precise. That every other mitzvah he's chayav, every, with the exception of tefillin. Says the Ritva, not even such a general rule is accurate. So when it says an oves chayav bechol hamitzvos, take it with a ton of salt. It doesn't mean all of kol hamitzvos. That's what the Ritva says. Yeah. If you go to page number 4 for a minute, this is a Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara in Chulin here is talking about the requirement of netilas yadayim. So the Gemara asked, what are you supposed to do in people of Pikta de Arvus? Kidonatun. You people, Deloshicha Luchumaya, you don't have much water available. What should you do? Mashu Yadaichu Mitzafra. You wash your hands on your bagel and cream cheese in lox in the morning. The asnu alayu, and you make a tanai lekule yoma, that the netilas yadayim, which I made in the morning, should be effective for the rest of the day. So again, another Gemara. Apparently, this was world famous place that had very little water. Pikta the Arvos, the markets in the city of Arvo.
How does that tanai work?
What?
How does that tanai work then? In the morning, you wine all day.
You make a tanai, and you have to keep your hands from definitely being in a situation which requires another netilas yadayim. But there is a takana that you have to wash your every time you eat bread. Not only if you're not sure, but so here, in this case, since the water was scarce, if you were careful and made that tanai, you don't have to wash every other time. There is another Gemara on page number 5 where Rashi pipes up and talks about Pikta da Arvos. Says Rashi, Sheganavim velistim mishtsuyin sham. And many who comment on the Rashi feel, since it's Ganavim and Listin, they don't pay very much when they buy things. Because if they have to pay too much, what do? They resort to stealing. So there is a guarantee that this guy in Cherem is not going to be making a lot of money. Because who's going to be buying the water? Only Listim and Ganavim. But Regular people don't live there in this particular place, and I can't blame them because there's not much water there. Yeah. Okay, let's continue to Gemara.
So what do we decide?
What did we decide? With what?
Ma with the Divrei Torah.
So the Gemara said that it depends, that a menuda is permitted to engage in Torah. Only a mukhram should avoid, and even a mukhram, he's allowed to review that which he studied already. But a regular menuda is permitted to engage in Torah.
Okay.
Asks the Gemara, mitzora mahu bedivrei Torah. How about a mitzora? Is a leper allowed to learn? Answers the Gemara, citing a braisa, Toshma. V'hodatam libanecha ulibnei banecha yom asher omadata lifnei Hashem elokech b'chorei. You shall teach your children and your grandchildren about the day which you stood at Har Sinai accepting the Torah. Drash. Ma lahalon be'ema ubi'yira ubi'reses ubi'zeya. Just as when Am Yisrael was standing at Sinai, they received the Torah in a state of awe and reverence and shaking and sweating, so too we should also engage in Ema and Yira and Reses when we learn Torah. Mikan Amru, from here we learn, Hazavin, a Zav, some male who has some type of sexual discharge, and a man who has relations with even his wife, who was a nida at the time, mutarin likrot batora ubenevim ubeksuvim ulishanot bemedrish ubeshas behalachos ubaradas. The fact that somebody is tamei does not necessarily put an isur upon Talmud Torah. Does not put an isur upon Talmud Torah. And in Shulchan Aruch it says, black on white, in Hilchos Nida, that a woman who is a Nida is allowed to hold the Sefer Torah. It says it black on white in Shulchan Aruch. Because Divrei Torah cannot be mitamim, can't become tamei. And so all these Zavin, Mitzora are allowed to learn. However, a Balkeri Asurin. A Balkeri, based on a Takana of Rabbi Yehuda made a very severe, Rabbi Yehuda Paskins like it, Lamaisa. Ezra made a very serious Takana that a male is not permitted to engage in davening nor learning after he has any sexual interaction. Cannot. Why? Why did Ezra make such a thing? In order for him to do it, what does he have to do? He has to go to the mikveh. So it's a pain in the neck to go to the mikveh in the middle of Russia, in the middle of the winter. So you're going to cut down your frequency of having relations. That was his objective, because he said all of the men were matsui eitzel nishosei and kitar nigolim. They were having relations with their wives like chickens. Okay, I never saw how chickens, how often they do it. But anyhow, that was the takana of Ezra. And it is the prime example of where a takana, she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamod ba, we are mevatel the takana. That if the community finds it too imposing to engage in this particular takana, we revoke the takana. That's exactly what happened. Because to expect everybody to go to the mikveh every single day is a little too difficult.
Was it also related to the fact of the intermarriage at the time of Ezra? Is that what he was trying to do? Or no?
No, no, no. That was something else. The intermarriage, he threatened other things. Threatened other things. And he did other things. He said that if somebody has relations with a Gentile, your kid will be called a guy. There is much evidence that from the time of the Torah until Ezra, actual lineal descent determined your, whether you was a Jew or a God. After Ezra, everyone agrees, from the time of Ezra and onward, it's been matrilineal descent. Everyone agrees that. As to what was from the Kabbalah Satire until then, is a debate. But that's how Ezra certainly alleviated, because it was the men who were engaged in the hanky-panky. Yeah. So, yeah. So this Brisa says that somebody who's a Mitzora is allowed to study Torah. That was the question. The only one who can't study Torah is a Balkari. So the question which everybody asks is, one of the categories which were allowed here is somebody who is Boel Anita. So the halacha is, if someone has relations with his wife when she is Anita, he becomes Tameh for Shivas Yamin. The halachas of Tumas Nida have no application today. Because the only thing that a woman who is Tameh because of Nida can't do is she can't go into the Azara. She can't go in certain parts of the Azara, she can't go into. But otherwise, there's no. So today we only observe Isurei Nida. But at the time of the Mikdash, a guy who had relations with his wife while she was an Ida became Tamei for 7 days. So asks Rashi, asks Tosfos, every person who had relations with an Ida should also be a Balkari. And we just stated that a Balkari is somebody who has any type of discharge, a male who has a discharge, even in normal marital relations. A Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah. So how does the Gemara say here that a Boel Nida is in the category of people who are allowed to learn? By definition, he's also a Balkari. That's the question which many Rishonim ask. And the answer which almost all of them give, Rashi and Tosfos give this answer, namely that he went to the mikveh to be Mitameh Tumas Keri, even though he is still Tomei based on the fact that he became Tomei by having contact with his wife, which was Anita. And the Rush in the third Perek of Brachos says the justification for people, chassidim, who go to the mikveh every single day. What is the halachic basis of going to the mikveh every single day? We're all Tomei with a much more severe tumor of Tumas Mace. The only way you can come Tameh from Tumas Meis is being sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma. So what's the use about going to the mikveh? So the Rush cites this Gemara, that you can, it is worthy and accomplishing someone who removes a lesser form of Tumah by immersion in the mikveh, despite the fact that you will still be saddled with a Tumah Chamura. So that's the basis of why, you know, chassidim go to the mikveh every single day. Because to say that there's an element of kedusha, that's nice chassidus and things like that, but it has no halachic basis. That going to the mikveh makes you a holy person. There's no halachic basis. But going to the mikveh to remove a form of tumah does have halachic basis. And most of us do it only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and that's what it's also about, to be mitired oneself from Tumas Keri. And that's why people do it.
So they go to the mikveh right away, so even though they're allowed to learn Torah?
Correct, because that removes Tumas Keri after 1 day, and then the rest of the 6 days, there's only Tameh Tumas Nida. Now, why did, according to this Gemara, why is a Balkari not permitted to engage? No, but why is he, until he goes to the mikveh, why is he not permitted? The others are Tameh and they're allowed to learn. Why can't he? Because he engaged in an act which was not done be'ema ubi'yira, be'zeya ubi'reses, and we're afraid that attitude is going to continue even when it opens up a Gemara. So in order to make sure that he doesn't learn Torah out of a frivolous attitude, it's hard to imagine why it's going to carry over, but that's what many say. That's, take a look at Rashi, and the last Rashi on Tesvav Amid Aleph. Balei Kriyan Asuran, Lefi Shebalahem Machmas Simcha, Vikalus Roish, Veleka Ema. Then it's hard to establish a sense of Ema when you learn. When you learn.
Karas Ezra was only for Tefillah and not.
No, and Talmud Torah.
So, but that doesn't apply.
And making a bracha.
That doesn't apply anymore.
That's correct.
So then what's, so why are people going to make it?
Because they want it in general. They want to accomplish tahara, not because it doesn't apply. You're allowed to, but they want to. They, the element is that it's significant to remove a lower form of tumma, even if you are saddled with a more severe form of tumma. That's why. Want to be pure. I'm sure some of you have had rabbeim who made sure it was done be'emo b'yira b'rasis, not from the gemara but from their stick. I'm sure you've had such rabbeim. I had plenty of them. Plenty. Yeah. Now, go to now page.
Yeah, 2-5.
Page 7. Which is the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia. And they ask, this Gemara is talking about Rabbi Eliezer, who challenged the Chachamim's opinion about a certain type of oven, whether it was Tahor or Tameh. So Omar Rabbi Eliezer, he noticed, Rabbi Eliezer noticed that everybody was like staying away from him. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, Ma Hayomi Omayim, why is today any different than any other day? Omale, Rebbe, Kimedumeli Shechaveirim bin Dilan Mimcha. It appears that everybody is staying away from you because you have been put into Cherem. Af hu kara begadav v'cholatz min alav. He ripped his garments, took off his shoes, v'nishmat v'yoshav al gabei karka. V'zolgu einav dima'os. And he was crying and so on and so forth. Asks all Rishonim. All Rishonim. The Gemara previously had asked, one second. Oh no, excuse me, it's a little premature. We've got to read a couple more lines of Gemara. And then the question will come about. Go back to the Gemara. Ovel asur b'tichboset. An ovel is not permitted to engage in laundering clothing. Dechsiv vayishlach yoav tekoa vayikach misham isha chachama vayomer eleha hisablina v'livshina bigodai. Big day eva. V'livshina big day eva. Va'al tasuchi shemen, v'hayis ki isha ze yomim rabim, mit abelet al meit. So, he told her to wear big day evel, and she should be like a woman who is mit abelet so many days. And what does it mean, big day evel? Big day evel means clothing that have not been laundered. So that's how we learn that an ovel is asur b'tichboset. All Rishonim believe that this Isur is only midrabbanan. All Rishonim. And why is this Navi lesser than Yechezkel? I don't have a good answer for it. From Yechezkel, we treat like a din d'oraisa, that he's not permitted to engage in Talmud Torah or Sheila Shalom. But this is, everyone agrees that this is only a din d'rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, menudin u mitzora'in mahein b'tichboset. How about a menuda and a mitzora? Are they permitted to engage in laundering? Tashma menuda and mitzorain asurin l'saper u'lechabes. Shma mina, pretty good brisa. It's pretty, it's black on white. It's a pretty good brisa. Black on white.
Make everything a lot shorter.
What? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. Avel chayev bekriya. How do I know? De ka'oma luhu rachmanu l'bnei Aaron lo sifromu. You should not rip your garment. Michlal, apparently, de kulei alma michayvi. Everybody else has to engage because Elazar and Isamar were told not to rip their garments. Ask the Gemara, menuda mahu bekriya, teku. How about a menuda? Does he have to rip his garment? Teku. The Gemara doesn't have an answer. So now the Gemara asks, Rishonim asks the question. What do you mean? Why did they learn from Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer was in Cherem, and what did the Gemara, we just read it. He ripped his garment. So maybe, why can't we learn that he has to be, that he has to make a kriya? So, there are a couple of answers. Number one, Rabbalet, the Ramban says that he wasn't just a menuda, he was a muhram, because this went on for years. And that's why, you can't learn anything from him. That's number one. Number two is the Sfas Emes answers, but a big chiddush. He says that there may not be a halacha that he has to rip kriya. This the halacha by Ovel is Sheyeh Bagadav Frumim. Where is that? Do I have to page five?
Okay,
but I want to stop because it's already 9. I don't want people to miss Marv. And then, what time is it?
9:13.
Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll continue with this next. But next week has to be Tuesday again. I have to have a dinner that I have to go to on Monday night. To know I'm dinner. Yeah, somebody.